if it weren't for her needing it, there wouldn't be a pulpit up there. I'm never up there. Yeah, she likes to hide junk.
Like my purse.
Yes. So men, take note. If your wife gets in any kind of control of anything, that's the purse coming. You're going to be loaded up with a backpack for hikers. Praise God. Well, we're going to start this morning in John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, Sunday, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Now you have to ask yourself, why would he say, "Peace be with you"? Because every disciple in that room just crapped themselves. The door was locked from within. And Jesus just walked through it. I don't know about you, but somebody walks through a door, I might be making a new opening in the back of the building. Because that ain't normal. Peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Think about it. I just never really thought about that. I mean, the hands, yeah, great. The side, he's wearing a robe. He's just been seen by Martha and Mary. And he goes to his disciples, the ones that he was the closest with, and he hikes up his robe. Here, guys, here. Look. He revealed the innermost part. He was exposed again. But he was showing his glory. For him, that scar is glory. That's a military thing as well. Scars fade and all this stuff, but glory is forever. But those scars, those are the things that he takes joy in, because he took them for us. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on him and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." At this point, there's only 11 disciples there. Actually 10, because they haven't replaced Judas yet. 10. A number of redemption. The first people to receive the Holy Spirit, aside from him. The only people, nobody else has ever been filled with the Spirit like this. The Holy Spirit would come upon them. They could prophesy. Even King Saul got in the midst with all the prophets and he started prophesying with them. And as a matter of fact, when I looked that up and it talked about he started prophesying as well, the word means babbling, i.e. he was praying in tongues. And that's King Saul. But now Jesus does something there. He says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Here's where I differ from many, many preachers who are in the charismatic realm, who are Spirit-filled. Well, if you ain't rolling on the floor, laughing, crying, praying in tongues, whatever, you didn't receive it. They did not laugh, cry, roll, run on the pews, create a ruckus. They didn't even go out at this point and start preaching. That didn't happen until Acts. And that was a totally different thing. There was 120 people in that room. But he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is important for us to remember. You are forgiving people who have hurt you their sins. Because at this juncture, all their sins are already forgiven. Jesus is telling us that when we forgive people, they're forgiven. But if we retain their sins, who did he say retains the sin? You. You are now the one in sin. Not them. They may be totally wrong, but it's you who sinned because you refuse to forgive it. Of all the deep messages, we want to understand how to manipulate demons, make them do our work. We want to understand how to perform magic tricks. And all the reality is, all God wants us to do is to understand his grace and forgiveness. So there's some things I just don't get what people want to know. Well, I want the meat of the word. The meat of the word is you got to forgive even when you hate the person. Even when you would rather see them dead. You have to walk in love. That is meat. That is harder to do than to pray for somebody. It's harder to forgive people who have hurt you, especially when they know what they did. So many of the things that happened in people's lives, they really didn't know what they did. But the reality is there are people out there, and they've come through the church year after year, time after time, and they come with one goal in mind, and that's to split the church. They come, they stir up trouble, and then they leave. A lot of evangelists like to say, it's why a lot of preachers don't like evangelists, because they blow in, blow up, and blow out. They don't get stuck with dealing with the ramifications. And the reality is, if the pastors actually preached what was supposed to be preached, messages like, you either forgive or you retain the sin. Did I do something? Oh. I'm like, that's black. Used to be words up there. If you retain them, if you do not forgive, you hold on to them. We all know about retaining a little bit of water. It doesn't matter if you're man or woman. I remember when I landed in Okinawa, man, 13-hour flight. My ankles were that big. I'd just gotten a nice sunburn at Oceanside. And when I got off that plane, got in there to the barracks that night, they literally took my skin from the top of my shoulders and just started walking backwards. I had shed that entire layer of suntan I just got. Actually, that was a sunburn because I couldn't tie my boots. That's retaining something. I held on to all that water on that flight, and it didn't do me any good. That's what happens with sin. When we retain, we hold on to that sin. We now take, God forgave them. But now we are putting ourselves in the position of judge. And we're not doing what we're supposed to do, and that is forgive. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." Okay, let's think about this rationally. We remember, first off, the Bible is a narrative. It's hardly ever given you every word that was ever said in a conversation. How do we know this? Because of what Thomas just said. Unless I see the wounds. What did Jesus show them? They didn't ask to see them, but Jesus showed them the wounds, didn't he? They came, we saw Jesus, man. He lifted up his robe, we saw the wound. We saw the holes in his hands. We could look through his hand. And he said, well, unless I do it, I don't believe. And unless I can stick my hands, my fingers. Okay, Thomas might have had some issues. Dude, really? Not certain I want to go sticking my bare finger in somebody's wounds. But he said, unless I see it, see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand in his side. Dude, he said, I won't believe. I will not believe. Now, I've heard some preachers try to say, well, it wasn't that he was in doubt. Wrong, but we'll show that here in a second. After 8 days, days of new beginnings, Sunday, they seen him. Switch back around. 8 days later, His disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut. Again, he did it. He did it. He walked through the doors. Again, he has some peace. I come in peace. Don't freak out, guys. And stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, this should have been the kicker in Thomas's faith all along. He just looks at him after he says peace and he says, reach your hand in here and look at my hand, or your finger, and reach your hand in here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. If he wasn't unbelieving, then why did Jesus say, don't be unbelieving? Because he was doubting. He doubted what the other guys, why? Because, let's be honest, again, we've looked at the disciples as this straight-laced, nobody ever pulled a practical joke. That was one of the funnest things, is to get one person, you all kind of gang up. We had this one Marine, he got to Okinawa, and I'm telling you, his IQ did come from the parking lot. He was a rock. That's not good. But he could turn a wrench, so he was, should have really told the rest of us a whole lot about our IQs. But we sent him on three different trips. One, we sent him to supply looking for 500 feet of flight line, which was at Kadena Air Base, and usually a jet is going down it. Two, we sent him to another building and to ask to go into the basement. Okinawa is a coral reef. There is no basements. Three, we sent him to supply again and told him to go down, and he needed a Prick E7. For those of you in the military know, an E7 is in the Marine Corps is a gunnery sergeant. And Jesus said, don't kick against the pricks. And we have a whole other word for that. Needless to say, he got ripped. His name was Goforth. He rarely trusted us anymore to go for anything. And so let's look. Thomas is like, I'm not believing unless I see it. You guys have gotten me before. People that work together, you pull jokes. You rib each other. You do things, right? Well, no, that's against my... It is not. It says no coarse jesting. You realize when I'm hurt. If I'm joking with Caleb, and I realize, man, I've really actually just hurt him, I need to stop. I just crossed a line. But Jesus is saying, don't be unbelieving, but believe. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Blessed. Blessed are you, Peter, among men, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but the Holy Spirit. Blessed means happy, to be envious, joyful. People should be envious of you for your faith. But Jesus had to tell him, he said, blessed are those who have seen and not believe. First time I ever prayed for somebody that had cancer. I'd never seen it. And they come back and said, the doctor said my cancer's gone. Okay. I heard a testimony of something that took place on Michelle's trip. A woman had a torn meniscus in her knee, and she was having a hard time and all this, and they prayed for her. They prayed over her. Okay. Yeah, she was wearing a brace. She got up next morning, didn't need the brace. Never used it the entire trip. And there was, what's the musician's name? Forrest Frank. Some of you may have seen the testimony. Broke his back in a skateboarding accident, right? Broke his back. And he got up one morning. Wasn't wearing the brace. He didn't hurt. God heals. Now, here's the thing. I've broke my back, and I've torn my meniscus. I didn't see that kind of healing. But I know my God heals. I know my God healed that man. I know that God healed that woman. Well, why'd God let you go this route? I don't know. I just know it's my path, and I'll walk it. And if I have to, I'll run it. But it's one I walk. You can't say, well, no, brother, you're not supposed to ever have anything happen to you. Well, that's no fun. I mean, I'm not saying breaking your back's fun. Tearing your meniscus, oh, yeah, it's a hoot. No. But what I'm saying is God knows and God is able. God is able in all things. So why do we not believe when we've seen? Well, brother, I don't know. Read your Bible. I can't tell you how many times I remember, you know, in elementary school particularly, I actually did like to read. It was just I didn't want to read the Scarlet Letter later. I was like, oh, please shoot me. And they did. You get to repeat this class. Not what I planned. But I remember reading things, and I could picture what was going on. And I loved reading autobiographies. I read them of George Washington, all these guys we had from the founding of this country and up. And the one in particular I remember is Abraham Lincoln. And it was just a small series of books that I'd get from the library. And I'd just eat them up, and I'd read them and read them and read them. But I could picture, and the one particular scene was something that just stuck with me forever. And it was Abraham Lincoln standing on a stump. He's standing on a stump. He's a teenager, and he's preaching to a cornfield. He's preaching the very message that his pastor had just taught. Almost word for word. He's preaching to the corn. The pastor is coming to dinner. He goes by and sees young Abraham standing up there preaching. And he said, I just saw the most marvelous thing. He said, your son is on the stump out there along the drive preaching my message from this morning to the corn. Young Abraham's father, this is where we get stupid. I'll deal with him for that. He will not disrespect you in such a way. I will beat it out of him. He said, whoa, that's not what I meant. That boy has a gift. Don't you dare touch him. He remembered my message and is preaching it. Well, we obviously know what Abraham Lincoln came to do. I have never memorized the Gettysburg Address. Personally, at 55, I see no intentions ever of memorizing it. But we know what God used him for. Where did Abraham Lincoln get the example of somebody setting people free? Start in Exodus, into Genesis. Start reading about Moses emancipating the children of Israel. Does God heal? Absolutely. Well, why didn't God heal my knee the way it needed to be healed? I don't know, and I don't care. It's not open for debate. It's my knee. And I'll live with it. That's all there is to it. Why didn't God stop the tree from breaking my back? I don't know. What I've learned, honestly, would I have learned to obey quicker? God has been stopping bad stuff from happening to me for all my life. I don't know. But I do know that which did not kill me did really make me stronger. And I have a testimony. And I can tell people, God does heal. God does make good things happen out of those bad things that the enemy sent to you. The devil meant for something for destruction, but God turned it around and used it. But not everything that happens to you is my back ain't got nothing. That was just sheer disobedience. But sometimes God causes blessings to flow out of those things. He will use it for the good of those who love him. And how do we love him? We love him by obeying him and are called for his purpose. Are you doing what God has called? If you're being rebellious and not doing what you're supposed to be doing, he's not going to use it to benefit you, to bless you. He will use it and say, well, dummy, when I tell you to cut a tree down, are you going to cut that tree down? Yes, Lord. I got a better idea. How about I don't cut any more down? I can imagine, and I'll tell you what, I've grown such a compassion on these men and women who have been in combat. Who, when the thunder and lightning, they cower. When things happen, it was just 5 seconds of my life, if that. And I can still hear it. And when trees crack, when I'm out walking, okay, I don't know which one of you wants me today, but I'm running. I got my go fasters on. We're going to run. I have put down 2 trees since then. I said, I'm not going to be bound by a spirit of fear. But I still come to the conclusion somebody else can put them down at this juncture. Somebody else can cut them up. Somebody else can split them, and I'll just stack them. Maybe that's what God was trying to get me to do all along. Why are you out here cutting down this guy's trees? They're garbage. Don't know. So faith, that's what this message was supposed to be all about. I learned a few things myself. Blessed are those who believe and have not seen. So many things I've not seen. You want to walk in the covenant of Abraham? Then you've got to believe without seeing. Because Abraham was called out of his country, told to leave, go to a land he's never been to, go see things he's never seen, go see people he's never seen. And he had to follow God. And we don't know whether God led him by some cloud like he did Israel, or if God just said, go up there to that rock and turn left. I got a feeling God led him by his heart. I want you to go see that point and go there and you camp. You stay there for a year. And so Abraham did this. And God continued to bless him. That is what's so crazy. All he did was just walked. Everywhere he went, God blessed him. Because he believed without seeing. At this point, Abraham had no reality of God. This is after the flood. All the people that would have known God, who could have known God, were dead. Now, Abraham was alive when Noah was alive. But I don't know that he had any connection. He did with Shem. But we're supposed to believe without seeing. That's trusting God. And just even as I said this morning, Lord, you are not a man that you should lie to us. God's not going to say, Pat, I'm gonna grant you hair on your legs. I think, I don't know who's got less, me or you. And I was looking the other day, I was like, well, I got a little patch right there. I was like, man, I used to have black hair on my legs and they all fell out. Yeah. God, I had hairy legs. How about we grow some back? Hey, you know what? It's a little overrated. It always pulled on my pants, my socks. I don't have to shave them. They're smooth. But if God tells you something, you have to believe it. Well, God, I've never seen you do that. Well, good. I don't have to see somebody else be healed of cancer to believe that God heals cancer. I don't have to see somebody else raised from the dead to believe God raises people from the dead. Now, have I seen a lot of phonies? Yep. Unfortunately, there were phonies in Jesus' day. There were phonies before Jesus. There were phonies after Jesus. There will always be a phony. And the reality is, folks, we can call that Antichrist. It's not real. Well, there's only one Antichrist. No, there's not. That spirit was in Jesus' day. It's here today. There will be one person that rises up as the beast. Not the conglomeration, but as the head of that organization. That person will speak out both sides of their mouth. Now, why don't you believe that all the interpretations of the rapture? Because I really don't care. It just says, as you've seen him go, you can. I don't live my life according to whether he's coming before I see that, during that, or after that. I don't care. You can believe what you want to believe. I believe my God is able. Do you not? Because I heard people, I'm banking on, we're getting out of here, I'm never dying. Don't bank on that. None of us get out of this life alive. Some of us are going to, maybe none of us in here. Maybe it's another 200 years off. Then what? I didn't expect to be this old. Well, you're here. I mean, if I had listened to them back in, you know, when I was a kid, I remember one time, well, this is when Jesus is coming back. I'm out hoeing weeds in the garden. I'm looking. The planets are all going to line up. When the planets line up, Jesus returns. They line up this month. They lined up a couple months ago. We just had a big, big, beautiful moon last night. They called it the Sturgeon Moon. It was going by your guys' place on 95, though, and I could see this thing, big old red ball right at the horizon. I was like, honey, look at the moon. Look at the moon. Look at that. By the time we got home, it had risen a little bit more and was more copper colored. But it was, as I said, now that is a blood moon. That is red. I believe Jesus is returning, and I believe we need to tell people. But we need to live our life every day the same. Yep, he's coming. Well, what preparations are you making? I'm living my life. That's what preparations. Aren't you storing food? Why? I mean, I get it. I mean, it's great to actually have some food on hand. We got food on hand. I'm not saying anything against that. If something happens, we can't get to the store. I mean, for crying out loud, what was it, 5 years ago? Everything got shut down, and how easy was that? Because we believed something that we couldn't see. I'm not saying COVID wasn't real. I'm just saying there's no truth in what we were being told. And those are facts. Believe what God has said. If God tells you to do something that you've never done before, do it. God's not going to ask you to do something stupid. I mean, when he told me to cut down the tree, it wasn't stupid. Really looking back, it really, really wasn't stupid. But so many things God's wanting us to do have nothing to do with it. Nothing. He's, you know, how many kids do you think you guys ministered to out there? Thousands?
250
kids. Okay. And I'm not going to get into too much of her details, but okay, 250 kids in squalor, poverty that we have no comprehension of because they live in the dump. We have no comprehension of that. But if God told you to go out tomorrow morning preach to 25,000? First thing out of your mind is, where am I going to come up with 25,000 people? That's almost the population of our county. Well, here's what God does. He starts off with a few. And then he starts taking you up. I remember back when we started his church, and I said, Lord God, this church, we're going to be powerful. We're going to be big. We're going to do this. And I just said, I believe I'm on 1,000 people. The most we've ever had in here is 102. Shortly after that, God gave me the revelation. He said, Art, it's not that you aren't. If each one of you tells one more person about Jesus and about trusting God, just one, look at how far this message has gone. And usually every week, there's between 50 and 55 views online of this message, of this service. Well, they aren't all people that attend here. They're people from all over the country now. And if they go out and they tell one more person, did not the message maybe that I preached today, or we'll go last week, didn't it maybe get out to 1,000 people? And is not what God maybe put in my spirit really what happened? I don't want a church of 1,000. I'll be honest with you. I really don't. Once you get to a certain size, first off in this county, there's a number. The Holy Spirit showed it to me years ago. There's a certain number that churches will get to. It doesn't matter what denomination or non-denomination. They get to a certain number, and there is a spiritual attack that hits them and splits them, and they're never the same. I'm like, Lord, I will take every person you give me. I will hold on to the ones you give me, Father. If they're mine, then they will be here. And I will teach them, I will love them. But if they're not mine, send them to somewhere else where they're supposed to be. And in the grand scheme of things, God has blessed. I watch your lives changing. As you trust God with every little bit. You teachers, again, I don't have to say it every, I will say it every year. You have a great opportunity. You coaches, you have a great opportunity before you. Those kids are looking at you. And first off, if they know that you're a believer, that you believe in Jesus Christ, but you're acting like a buffoon, they're going to believe what they see in their lives. And I hope they see Jesus. I want people to see Jesus in my life. I had an opportunity last night. We stopped to get milkshakes and some fries. And this place always is on top of it. But last night, you know, I hardly sat down. My milkshake was ready. I was like, woohoo. Yeah. Got my milkshake, sat there. I'm like, okay, I'm about done for my milkshake. Ain't got no fries. I just wanted some fries. I even ordered small, just a handful of fries. And when I looked at my receipt to see, I was like, holy smoke, it has been 25 minutes since I ordered. She didn't have her onion rings. I don't have my fries. So I went up there and stood. Nobody talked to me. And with not being able to be loud like I've been, I had to be very careful. And as everybody just kept walking by, I can't get, the next step is to sit on the counter, people. Okay, I can't get more obvious that I need assistance, and I'm standing here holding my receipt. And you're serving people that came in 15 minutes after I did. I said something to one guy, oh, I'm sorry, and goes in. Next thing I know, he's the fry guy. He's not at a station anymore. Okay, why aren't you cooking my fries? My onion rings. manager sent him on a wild goose chase or something. Next thing I know, she's over here doing some things and runs to the other end of the counter. Oh, the baby, the baby. Y'all know what happened? The devil stood on that accelerator. I went, I'm getting hot. I said, you've got to be kidding me. That whole group of people, there were 10 people. They got their food before I did. I said, Lord, God said, remember who you are. I'm thinking, yeah, I know who I am. I'm a rough, tough United States Marine who's getting ticked. No, not that one, idiot. Okay, Lord, I remember. And this woman turns out to be the manager. Came up right in front of me twice. First time, she wouldn't even look at me. Second time, before she backed up, I said, excuse me, are you the manager? Yeah, is there something I can help you? I said, yeah. I ordered fries and an onion ring over a half hour ago. I'm so sorry, sir. And she went, where's his stuff? The guy that was supposed to be cooking, he said, I dropped the ball. I'm standing there thinking, no kidding, Sherlock. Get my fries. I saw you put three fries and a mush and the onion rings in that bag and put them in the outside bag. Lord, I'm trying. The guy comes up to me. He wouldn't even look me in the eye. Sorry, sir. He gave me a large fry, which I ended up sharing inadvertently.
I was really deprived and starving.
She ate her onion rings but didn't give me any. But anyhow, so I went home and, man, I'm telling you right now that I didn't say a word. 25 minutes didn't say a word except, look at the moon, look at the moon. Got home. Where's my fries? She started fading. I'm like, okay, I'm dropping. So I went to bed. The devil will do everything he can to make sure people don't know that you are a godly person. How easy would it have been for me to rip that young man's head off, crap down his neck, and walked away? That's a Marine term. Because that's what I wanted to do. Because he was joking with one of the other guys, hey, do you know what you're doing? When I saw what his actual job was, because he was making hamburgers. He's putting them together while the guy down here is supposed to be putting them together, screwing around. And I thought I was getting this. Do you know what you're doing? And God kept reminding me, who are you? Can I just flesh out once? Just one time? No, I can't. Because people need to see me. Because when they're looking at me, they're seeing Jesus, right? That's what we hope. Every last one of us have that opportunity. What are people seeing? I've never personally seen Jesus. But I can read his word and I can picture in my mind. Somebody who, he didn't take stuff from people. He stood up for what was right. He even took abuse when he didn't need to. But he warned us not to take people's sins. I forgive those people. I don't know what happened. Somebody dropped the ball. And that's that. I woke up in much better spirits, able to breathe, because I was just like, I think I'm going to go for a midnight hike somewhere. God gave me sweet sleep because I didn't tear into anybody as much as I wanted to. And they would have looked at it and said, he had a right. People said, well, he had it right. Other people said, well, he should have just sucked it up. And yes, I did. I just went over and said, let's go. Got the little bit I needed to say out before I got in the truck, and then the devil was still trying to people that wasn't paying attention coming out of the drive-thru. Had to jam on my brakes. And then they got to the end of the lot, and they just stopped. I just, Lord, please tell me this ends soon. You know, please. I said, people, please move. Move. I'm not. And they gave a right turn signal. Went that way because I'm going this way. And I said, that was the smartest move you've made tonight, whoever you are, because I'm not in the mood. And the Holy Spirit has kept sitting there. Who are you? Who are you? What do you believe Jesus is about? Who do you? What do you believe God is? Is God somebody waiting to get his due rewards, due justice? I can pray for justice for Gloria. Because somebody did something intentional. We know other facts. I'm not going to make you sick here today. Because it angered me. That's a dear friend. But somebody's going to pay for it. With their job. But I can pray and God can bring it the right way. Or I can react and do it totally wrong. And it doesn't matter if I believe God heals cancer. It doesn't matter that I believe God can open the eyes of the blind. He can heal backs. He can heal knees. None of that matters. Because I really didn't believe God was full of patience. How many times have you been the one behind the counter, screwing around, doing everything but what you're supposed to be doing, and most likely all that happened was somebody accidentally cleared my order? That was it. It was an accident. No, it was on purpose. If they know who I am. Nobody in there had a clue who I was. The enemy who was waiting, are you going to bite? Here's the bait. Here's the bait. Come on, bite it, dummy. Bite it. Bite it. You think the guilt you're dealing with for how you were feeling internally was bad? Wait until you react. And I'm going to club you with guilt and condemnation. And you'll never be able to show your face in here, because when somebody acts like that, everybody in that restaurant knows who you are. And by the way, I don't recommend you ever go back. Let's just say they do spit in food of people like that. I've heard too many stories from people who've worked in restaurants that, oh yeah, I know this person. Treat the people, the flaggers, when they're working on the road, treat them nicely. One, they are standing in the heat. If it's 85, it's about 120 where they're standing. Treat them nicely. Do not spit on them. Do not cuss them out. Do not flip them off. Because they have a radio and they call ahead to the spray crew and they say, hey, the white Ford just spit on me. I got this firsthand from someone. They call ahead. The guy's doing the spraying down there. That he see, they tell him, here comes the white Ford. 3, 2, whoosh. Don't think it doesn't happen. So be kind. I don't know where I really wanted to go with all that, but I hope it hit you. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if it hit me last night, the devil's coming for you. Because it was something, and she can share, but Michelle said, oh, I just had a great time in the Lord. We saw things happen. And I don't know if somebody on the crew said, get ready. You got an attack coming. And boy, did the devil, he launched one at her. It's like, and I heard that, and I'd done some ministering yesterday in some areas that I didn't realize it. It's like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep, that was definitely a spiritual attack because I wanted to react in the flesh, and that's what happens. A spiritual attack will result in a fleshly attack. Don't let it happen. All right, let's stand. I didn't get to 30. Yeah, don't worry about it. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But they were written so that you would believe. When you read your Bible, picture that Red Sea parting. That wind blowing. It wasn't a gentle breeze, ladies and gentlemen. It was a wind. When the earth trembled and it opened up and it took all the rebels of Israel. That's God. But it's also the same God that sent Jesus. And understand, God is patient. Time and time again, he had warned those people, knock it off. I picked Moses, and you're going to follow him because he's following me. That's why we're told to pray for those who spitefully use us. But Jesus said, if you don't forgive them and you decide to retain it, you're the one sinning. You're the one holding the sin now. You're holding that guilt. That's why you feel so bad. If you've never figured it out, it's somebody else's guilt you're carrying. And when you think about that, think about Jesus carrying yours. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, if I am, or anybody else in here, we're retaining anybody else's sins, Lord God, show us by your Holy Spirit that we may forgive them and let go of them. Father, I know even in my own life that I've got a couple things that I may be holding. And I'm going to address them. Because I want to be more like you, Father. And I know everybody in here does. We want to be more like Jesus. Father, help us all. Oh, Father, move on your people today. Bless them. Father, open their eyes to the truth, just as your Holy Spirit is supposed to reveal all truth to us, Father. Sometimes the truth does hurt. We look at it and say, I want the truth about this, not the truth about my own life. Help us to adjust to that truth, Father. And now, Father, I bless your people. Lord God, as they make preparations, even some for school, some for vacations, and some for finishing up. Bless them, Lord God. Protect them. Set your angels round about them. In Jesus' name, amen.